And if I come in here and somebody's sitting right there where I sit, I'm going to sit over here. Somebody's sitting there. I'll sit up here on the altar. And if the altar's full, I'll climb up here and sit on the stage. I used to have a chair up here and they moved it. I don't know where they moved it to. I don't care. I'm going to get as close as I can to it. Hallelujah. I know that may not be for you, but that's me. Because I'm telling you, when I step up here during the worship, it's different right here than it is right there. May not be different for you, but it's different for me. I can't tell you what works for you, but the closer I can get to the glory, that's where I want to be. Wherever God's pouring, I want to... I want to talk to you this morning about under construction. We're still talking about the church. We're talking about the church. This all, it flows from Ephesians chapter 3. Not only did my phone has been blowing up all morning. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love it. So y'all know it's not you, right? Ain't nobody in here blowing my phone up. Praise God. This all stems from Ephesians chapter 3. It's part of it. There's several key verses, several key portions of Scripture. But Paul, speaking of himself in Ephesians 3, verse 9, it says, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. And in 2 Corinthians, we read of this parade that's taking place. It says in verse 14 in chapter 2, but thank God he made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are the dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task? There's no one that's adequate. It's only the Holy Ghost moving through us. We're just conduits of his glory. And the thought is, this is the wisdom of God, that he's showing rulers and authorities in the unseen realm just how incredible his wisdom is, because he's moving upon mortal human beings, making them brand new creations. We are created anew in Christ by the endless treasures in Christ, the boundless treasures in Christ, the incredible treasures that are found in Christ. God is renewing us. He's transforming us. And through the transformation of normal human beings, he's showing angels and demons just how bad he is. He said, y'all think you're something? You want to rebel against me? Exalt yourself above me, the knowledge of me. You want to make your name bigger than my name? Brad shared this the other night with me. He heard a pastor talk, preacher talking about it. And God said, let me show you something. He stripped the devil of his authority, cast a third of the angels out of heaven, and made them walk around on a planet that is inhabited by people created in the image of God that have authority over him. Woo! Glory! I like it. I'm part of it. The very thought here in 2 Corinthians, and it's hard to get out of the original language. You really have to go back and dig and find out who Paul's talking to. These people understood. A lot of people today, it's hard to get it out of the Greek. I totally understand if people struggle with what I just shared. But Paul is speaking, and everybody in his day knew it. The Romans controlled the world. They ran over everybody. The Romans were prophesied by Daniel. The Romans, the Roman kingdom, God let us know it was coming way before it got here. And they were ravagers of humanity. And when a Roman general won an increasingly great battle, you just couldn't win a battle. It had to be something significant. You had to topple an enormous city. You had to do some kind of great conquest for Rome. The general, I shared this yesterday, would ride in a chariot plated with gold. It would have ivory on it. It would be just an amazing chariot. And they would sometimes they'd have elephants pull them. Sometimes they'd have lions. Sometimes they'd have tigers. But most of the time these chariots were pulled by two white horses. And the general would ride in the chariot, and all his captives would follow along, everybody that he conquered. And at the very back of the line, at the very back of the parade, were the kings that he conquered. And they would be in chains. I hope you're starting to see the picture of this. Hallelujah. Man, I'm spitting like crazy this morning. If I was y'all, I'd be sitting right up here on the altar. Hallelujah. I've been in the glory for 3 or 4 days. I'm having fun. Praise God. We are the first captives behind Christ. He redeemed us out of another kingdom. It's good news that he caught us. It's good news that he found us. Hallelujah. Maybe you weren't as lost as me, and it doesn't mean as much to you as it does me. That's normal. It's understandable. But baby, I was lost. I was in chains. I was a slave to another kingdom, and Jesus redeemed me out of that kingdom. And now he leads me along in his triumphant procession. He is parading me through. And powers and authorities, principalities and devils, they got to watch what God is going to do through me. And he's got to do the same through you. Hallelujah. You've got to understand how important this is. In Psalm 127, see, that's the foundation of what we're talking about right there. Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Sometimes when God's building, let's just say sometimes when anybody's building, it's uncomfortable. I mean, if you've ever worked in construction, you know that air conditioning is not one of the first things that goes in. And this time of year, around Oklahoma, it's hot. You're working inside a building, whatever it is, at least it's inside. I mean, sometimes it's better than outside. Sometimes, even when it's 9,500 degrees, I'd rather be outside if the wind's blowing. Because ain't no air moving in there sometimes, and it's just brutal. Was it hot back there yesterday? They put that primer on. And then they turned that heater on, that kerosene heater, to dry the primer so they could get in there and get out. It was hot back there, wasn't it? Construction can be uncomfortable. Sometimes construction smells bad. Sometimes it looks bad. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And sometimes when God is working on us, all of these things apply. Sometimes God has to tear out the old and put in some new. But we're like the homeowner standing there with the builder. As the builder said, man, you got some termite damage here. And the homeowner's going, yeah, but it's old wood. I like old things. Yeah, but brother, it's rotten. The termites have ate it up. I just like old things. And we're no different than that sometimes. We're more comfortable with the rot in our lives than we would be if God took it out and built us back like He wants us to be. When God is building something in our lives, it can be very uncomfortable. And let's be honest, we are really into comfort. If you don't agree with that, turn those ACs off, please. Let's get uncomfortable in here. And just see how quickly, I mean, it's 3 or 4, you're already dozing off, right? Stayed up all night playing video games. I'm familiar with that. We like the AC. We like climate control. We like a friendly atmosphere. We like to feel important. We like to feel special, like we're appreciated. And sometimes when God is doing a work in our lives, He's exposing some things, some of those things that stand in the way of true humility, true trust, true obedience. And all of these things are required for us to be all that God has called us to be. Sometimes construction is unsightly. Construction can be ugly. New home sites can look like an absolute mess. You should have seen this place when it was being built. During construction, right after the dirt work was complete, it started raining. We'd already put some rock down on the parking lot. And I remember walking out the fellowship hall door and a truck was pulling. I can't remember what kind of truck it was. I don't know if they had material or what. It was a big truck. And they were pulling in, and they were just making huge ruts in the parking lot. I thought they were going to get stuck. Maybe they did. I can't remember. And the ground, it was like some kind of sponge or something. I was just noticing this truck is just moving. The ground is just like moving, and it's parting. And I'm like, God, we got some problems here. That's supposed to be a parking lot. And it's rutting up. It was muddy. There was piles of stuff here and piles of stuff there. There were huge rocks laying around. There was no way to keep up with all the trash all the time. We had gas leaks. We had water leaks. We had water lines that got crushed under the slab. Sometimes when God is working on us, our lives are not very pretty. Have you ever seen somebody do an ugly cry? I mean, mascara everywhere. They didn't used to have waterproof mascara. I mean, I've seen these women get up from the altars and mascara is everywhere. Their old hair's all wet and it's like stuck to their forehead. I've seen men get up from the altar. I mean, they just got snot. Can you say snot in church? But they just got snot. It's everywhere. And I'm like, good Lord, brother, wipe that off before you pick your head up. That's ugly. I mean, they look like Alice Cooper or something. And some of y'all don't even know who Alice Cooper is. Well, Alice Cooper looked like he was going to Halloween every day. God may give you a word, a good word. He might tell you He's going to make you rich. He might say He's going to use you mightily. And the next thing you know, you're broke. Or a deacon board meets and kicks you out of the church. You might say there's no way anybody would get kicked out of a church. Let me read you some excerpts from a diary. Sunday a.m. May 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m. May 5th, preached in St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m. May 12th, preached in St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday a.m. May 19th, preached in St. Somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I could not return. Sunday p.m. May 19th, preached on the street, got kicked off the street. Sunday a.m. May 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out of the meadow as the bull was turned loose on me. Sunday a.m. June the 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, got kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m. June the 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. See, this guy knew that God was going to use him. And there was all kinds of opposition. There was all kinds of ugly taking place in his life. All kinds of churches literally kicked him out. The man's name was John Wesley. He founded the Methodist Church, in case you don't know. Leonard Ravenhill, a man that God used mightily, said, I got invited to a lot of churches once. See, during those hard days of getting kicked out of churches, God was working on John Wesley. He was getting him ready for big things. There was one meeting. They're not sure how many showed up. They always, there's different numbers. Some say 10,000, some say 15,000. So I'm just going to safely say somewhere between 10 and 15,000 people showed up in one of his meetings. He preached for 4 hours. For 3 hours he preached on the wrath of God on sinful man. And for 1 hour he preached on the redemptive power of the blood of Christ and that anybody could be saved if they would call upon the name of the Lord. After he finished preaching, there were 1,600 people, it's reliably reported, that laid unconscious on the ground under the power of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes construction takes longer than we think. We want new buildings. We want boys' ranches. We want ministry opportunities. We want a new house. We want a month. We want it all in a month. That should be plenty of time to get all that done. When are they going to get this finished? We're almost there. See, we're like the kids in the back seat. Are we there yet? We were there an hour and a half ago if we're going crazy because that's how quick you drove me there. We want God to use us to shake nations, restore marriages, make us rich, save our kids, get us a better job, give us a better life. For goodness sake, Lord, give us a better pastor. We want it this time next week, or better yet, how about by the end of the day? God, if you'll shut this guy up, I'll go preach. God worked on Moses 40 years on the backside of the desert. One Jewish temple took 46 years to build, according to John 2. Joseph was built in a pit as a slave and in a prison over years. David was anointed king and waited over 20 years before he was ready to sit upon the throne. Not only does it take longer than we think, sometimes it can take longer than we like. You just got to get real and not give up during the process. Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's some keys to victorious living in this process of construction. The first one is don't complain. when it's noisy, when it's uncomfortable, when it's dirty, when it's ugly, when you smell the polyurethane, just take a deep breath. Hold it in, exhale, and take another. After 4 or 5 breaths, everything will be a lot more mellow. It'll be a lot easier to deal with. You won't be freaked out. I'm just kidding. If you smell polyurethane, get out of the building. Don't light a fire. Polyurethane is dangerous. When life is getting hard, when life is getting rough, when the building that Christ is doing in you involves tearing out the old, just know He's taking you somewhere. God has an incredible plan for us. I am convinced of this. You can never convince me that God is not up to something huge in humanity when He's willing to sacrifice His own Son to save us. See, you're not growing when you're complaining. You're going backwards. We grow in faith. We grow as we trust. We grow as we obey God. We grow as we praise. Hallelujah. So I didn't mention this over the last couple of days, and it would have been something well worth mentioning. When we're talking about God parading us through before powers and principalities in the heavenlies, we have a very brief opportunity to praise God in our trouble. It's just a little while. You might live to 70, you might live to 80, you might live to 90. If you live to be 105, 106, you are old. I don't want to be here that long. This is the way I pray. I said, God, when I can't preach no more, take me home, please. In Jesus' name. I don't want to be here when I'm of no value to His kingdom. I'm headed to a better place. This is not my home. Now, if God wants me to stay here to do something, I don't know, beat my grandkids, I don't know, I'll do it. Whatever He tells me to do, I'll do. Willingly, with a good attitude, after I get prayed through. But as long as we're here, when trouble comes, we have an opportunity that we will not have in heaven. All your struggle is gone in heaven. All your trouble is gone in heaven. You want to know what shakes devils? When they have afflicted you with everything they've got, with everything God will allow, and you just lift your hands and begin to praise. When they come to you with their lies and they're just trying to beat you down and beat you down, and all they do is tell you what you're not. Well, the Bible says this, but you're not that. If you'll just lift your hands and say, oh, Jesus, I thank you that I'm not walking in it yet, but that's where you're taking me, Lord. I believe it, God. Your word says it. Your word says that there's endless treasure in Christ, and you're not holding any of it back from me. They'll go, I'm going to go talk to somebody else. Sad thing is, they can almost always find someone to listen. Just make sure it's not you. Somebody's going to praise God in their troubles. Somebody's going to be a light in the earth. Somebody's going to be used of God. Somebody's going to raise the dead, heal the sick, open blind eyes, open deaf. God's going to use somebody to do it. It might as well be you. Well, I just don't think God's doing that anymore. Wake up, Edna. God is still doing that. And if your name is Edna, I didn't mean that disrespectful. I didn't know anybody in here named Edna. Is there anybody in here named Edna? Donnie? I thought your name was Donnie. Donnie Edna? Man, what did you do to your dad? You've got to trust the master builder. See, we got to know that this project's going to get finished. There is going to be a beautiful addition to our fellowship hall. There is going to be a boys' ranch. There is going to be a rehab center. You know, building programs, pastors don't really look forward to them because they know you're going to have to deal with some, anyway, joyful people. It's like that woman coming down the middle aisle when Brother Hinton is preaching, and he says, "Oh no, I know she is coming." And he'd been preaching on the joy of the Lord. And she got up to him and she pointed her finger and she said, "I want you to know I have an inward joy that no man taketh away." Brother Hinton didn't say it. He did a lot better than I. That's why God doesn't put me out on the road, because I would have said it. But in his mind, he said, "And no one would want it either." I would have said it. We know God's going to finish the work because he said it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way." Promise of Christ. And that word "may," it's inaccurate. "Now the God of peace make you holy." That's what it literally means. "Now the God of peace make you holy in every way." See, when the devil comes to you and says, "You ain't holy," right there, God's making me holy in every way. Hallelujah! "Your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again." Verse 24, "God will make this happen. For he who calls you is faithful." God is working on you. He is a faithful God. If you remain in faith, I guess that's what maybe the writer, the translator was thinking, because some people may not stay in faith. Have you ever seen anybody backslide? Yep. Brother McGregor used to say, "We believe in backsliding and we practice it at our church." Praise the Lord. I don't know if he's talking about me or what. Philippians 1 and 3 says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus." God's going to finish us. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Hallelujah. When the devil comes at you with accusations, I'm telling you, when he comes to you telling you anything other than what the Word of God tells you, you stand up to him and declare boldly, "I am who Jesus says I am. I will be whatever Jesus said I will be." And see what this all really boils down to, because we're all in this process. I mean, we really are. Every one of us, God is working on. I love what somebody said one time. God loves you so much, he'll take you just the way you are. And he loves you so much that he will not leave you that way. Ruth Graham said, "If Jesus has not changed you, Jesus has not saved you." You are not born again if you are the same man you were before you said you got saved. Not true. If you get saved, God's going to change you. Now, you don't have to be like me. You know, I think some people are worried that God's going to make them like me. And they're like, "God, I would get saved, but if I have to act like that, I just don't think I can." You don't have to act like me. You thank God. You should thank God. That's something to praise. Thank you, God. There's only one of him. Praise God. Glory to God. That's good news. You don't have to be like me, but there has to be a change. There has to be a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And what it really boils down to is, are we going to get in this program? Are we going to resist God? Are we not going to obey God? Are we not going to allow the Lord to work on us? Are we going to resist the change? Because there's confrontation and there's correction in the body of Christ. I don't know, maybe you didn't have a good dad, and so it's so hard nowadays. The scripture was speaking in a day where fathers took care of their kids. And I get it. We have people that don't have good dads. So here's the deal. Find you somebody that will impart into your life. Find somebody that will stand up and be a man in your life. Because a father brings correction to his children. And he points them in the right direction. If you're going in the wrong direction, a good father will say, "Well, I hope he figures it out." No. A good father will say, "Brother, this is the wrong way. Let me show you a better way." And you go to your Bible and you point out what God says. You get them in here and God will change them. I had a guy call me yesterday and he was just like freaking out happy. Because he'd been struggling, and he's seeking the Lord. And God spoke to him yesterday. He was wound tighter than an 8-day clock. He said, I heard him. And here was the question he was asking him. He said, "God, there has to be more than just working, making money, taking care of your family, then dying. There's got to be more to this life than just that." And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Serve me." Are we going to surrender to the building in our lives or not? Are we going to surrender to the construction or not? Are we going to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus? This is a huge question in the church. A lot of people want a Savior. They call Jesus Christ my Savior. But He is way more than a Savior. He is Lord of all. And here's the deal. It doesn't matter if we believe that, accept that, receive that, or walk in it. That changes nothing. You know, it's kind of like the guy that says, "I just don't believe the Bible." That doesn't change one bit of the truth of God's Word. And you surrendering or submitting to the Lordship of Jesus does not change His Lordship at all. All it does is change you for the worse. Every knee is going to bow to Him. God has given Him a name that is highly exalted. It is a name that is above every other name. We got to decide, are we going to fully trust and obey Him or not? See, here's a deal in the body of Christ. There's a lot of people that surrender to Jesus in 99% of their lives. You consider your heart a house, and there's many rooms, and they give Jesus the key to every room except one. And they say, "Jesus, man, I don't want you to go in there. I don't even like opening that room. It's there. I know. I run to it at times. And, you know, I just can't. Jesus, I'd be so ashamed if you went in that room." There's a guy by the name of F.B. Meyer. And he was a preacher, a Baptist preacher. And his preaching was powerless. His life was miserable. And he said, "There's got to be more." And the way I heard the story, he was sitting on a stump in the woods and he's talking to the Lord. And Jesus walked up to him. And had his hand out. And he said, "What do you want, Jesus?" He said, "You know what I want. I want the key to that one room." And FB said, "Oh, Jesus, anything anything but that. I'm so ashamed of that one room. I don't like to go there. I sure don't want you to go there. I just can't surrender that room to you, Jesus. And the Lord just turned and started walking away. And he said, stop, stop. What are you doing? Why are you leaving me? And FB said, Jesus said this. He said, I'm either Lord of all or I am not Lord at all. It's kind of like Saul. God told him, wipe them out. But they saved some of the best. Had to hang on to a little bit for themselves. It's still costly today. And like I said, what you do with this, it has no bearing on Jesus. The only bearing here is on you. Because when we walk out of here today, Jesus Christ is still King of all kings. He is still Lord of all lords. He is still the mighty God, creator of heaven and earth. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the mighty God. He is the glory of the Lord in the earth. He wants to be the glory of the Lord in your life. He wants every key so he can take you and demonstrate what God can do through anybody. I've told you about Jackie Pullinger. That single woman gave everything and went to the walled city in Hong Kong. And God literally turned that city upside down. One woman. You got to understand, this thing started with 120 people. 2 billion strong today. Hallelujah. That gets me so excited. I'm almost back to where I was Friday night, either kicking the pulpit off or throwing the mic. Father, we love you. We love you, Lord. You're so good, God. And I pray in Jesus' name, as decisions are made, that they would be the right ones. As every person in here would just stand to your feet. Sometimes it's effective to have everybody bow their head and close their eyes, and I've done it. And I have nothing against it. But I'm just going to ask you to be a man. I'm just going to ask you to be a woman. Be a man of God. Be a woman of God. Be a child of God. And I'm just asking you now, if you know what I'm talking about, if the Lord was talking to you about one room, maybe it's two, maybe it's three, maybe the Lord doesn't have as much control over your life as others, and maybe you've never surrendered control at all. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus at all. As the music is playing, as the Lord is dealing with your heart, these altars are open. I would plead with you to come and do business with God. If you will surrender your life to Jesus, there is no regrets. I have never met a single person that has surrendered to Jesus that says, man, I wish I would have never done that. I wish I would have just continued to live my life the way I wanted to live it, do what I wanted to do. I watched a guy today as people are coming. I watched a guy today and he was saying, talking about our choices, our decisions. And it used to be me. Friday night is coming. I'm just going to go get drunk. I'm just going to party. And what did I possibly hope to gain out of that? I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to feel horrible the next day. I'm likely to do something stupid. I never did anything smart. It's not Budweiser, it's Bud Dumber. It never made anybody smarter. You say, why do you do that? I don't know. But next Friday, you're going to do it again. And the Friday after that, you're going to do it again. And I'm like, why do you keep making the same dumb decision? Why don't you make a decision today that I'm going to surrender that part, I'm going to surrender that room to Jesus? Because I'm telling you, He'll help you. He'll set you free. He'll set you free. That's the Jesus we serve. These altars are open. Quickly, come. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Quickly, come. Come on. I'm going to surrender to Jesus. I'm going to let Him build on me. I'm going to let Him work on me because I know He's faithful. I know He's going to work this stuff out. I know He's going to make me who He wants me to be. I know He's going to make me. He said, you are the light of the world. That means He's going to start a fire in you and show the whole world His light and His glory. He said, you're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness. Come on, surrender to Jesus. Give Him that last key. Give Him that last key. We love you, Lord. As these have come, I would just ask you to pray. If you need to go, if you need to be dismissed, just quietly dismissed, but reverence what the Lord is doing in these altars. And if you want to pray, just right there where you're at, just pray for these people. Just pray. Just pray. Ask the Lord to help them. Glory to you, Jesus. I love it when God is moving in the altars. We love you, Lord. If you want to come and even stand behind these people, just come and stand behind them. I would welcome you to come and stand behind them and pray. Help your sons, God. Help your sons. Help your daughters, God. Help them, Lord. Just continue this incredible work, the beauty and the mystery of Christ revealed. Thank you, Jesus. 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 If you're here today and you need a touch in your body, pain, sickness, and you want us to lay hands on you, please come. We'll pray for you. If you need a physical touch, just come. I'm telling you, God still heals. God still heals. It was, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months ago, my left arm right here, it was horrible. And there's 3 or 4 guys prayed for me, and I haven't had a second's trouble out of it since. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You need touch? Let's pray for Becky. Anybody else need? Paxton, you need touch? Good. Jess? Good. Sharon? Sis? Right here. Let's get some folks to come over and lay hands on these folks and pray for them. You're on the prayer team. Come over and just begin to pray for these folks. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. Come on, prayer team. Come on. I know you're tired. Everybody's tired. Bunch of holy rollers.